Let's turn to the scripture real quick. I want to show you something from the scripture, and we're going to use this to establish the foundation for the illustration, and then we will go quickly to and briefly to some preaching on this passage of scripture. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11 and look at verse 8. This is our text, but the text is going to be combined with another text. So you get Hebrews chapter 11, look at verse 8, and then get Romans chapter 4 and look at verse 12. And we'll establish a little bit of introduction, and then we're going to do a vivid illustration. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, Romans chapter 4, verse 12. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8 first. The Bible says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. That's pretty tough. I want you to go, but I'm not telling you exactly where you're going to land. When you get there, I'll let you know. That's a lot of faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, we know now that that was the land of Canaan, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. All right, now look at Romans chapter 4 at verse 12. The Bible is speaking here about Abraham. You see that from verse 1 of Romans chapter 4. What should we say then? That Abraham, our father, is pertaining to the flesh, hath found. What did he find? Verse 3. What saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Then, notice in verse 11, he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had, yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. So he's talking about being the father of faith to Gentiles and Jews. Verse 12. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also, here it is, walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had, being yet uncircumcised. So Hebrews chapter 11 verse 8 tells us that by faith he went out, not knowing whither he went. Romans chapter 4 verse 12 tells us to walk in the steps of that faith. There are those who do. What we're going to do is that scripture is pray. Let me introduce it to you. And then we're going to have a vivid illustration. Father, we sure thank you and love you tonight. Open the scripture here and help us to get something out of this, Father, that is so, so true about our faith in Jesus Christ. Help us tonight, Father, to see it and get it and understand it. Either live by it if our faith needs to be strengthened or change our ways if we're not walking in this kind of faith now. If we ask you to do it in Jesus' name, amen, amen. Now, Abraham's life was a life of faith, and that life of faith is exemplary to all of us, and we are to walk in the steps of that faith. The interesting thing is God called him. He left in obedience. And he went somewhere and he wasn't sure where he's going. Now there's a lot about faith in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 8. That's our text. That's where you want to be. But before we dive in very simply to a little outline about what's going on in there, I want to show you something about how difficult and vividly how difficult it can be for a person to follow God when he's leading in their lives to go in and do something when they're not sure about the outcome. All right, in order to be able to have this vivid illustration, I need some helpers. I've already picked those. Ann and Randy are going to be my helpers. And in order for this thing to work out, we're going to have a couple of volunteers. And I haven't picked those, but I have a mind who it is I want to use. Yes, sir. And I see that. But go ahead. Ann, you stand right down here in the front. Randy's going to go over here in a moment. He's going to help me with something. You know how it is with volunteers in a deal like this, right? You pick them, right? My first volunteer is Kelly Kraft. Right. Yes. Hey! Yeah, come on down. That's great. No, she's not smiling? That's okay. She will be. And in a minute, so will we. All right, and then we need another volunteer. I've got to have, who am I going to have? The person I had in mind isn't here right now, so I've got to have another volunteer. Let's see. Perhaps there's somebody that would raise his hand or her hand. And okay, Trevor. Okay, now to be able to do this, Ann is going to lead you out. Y'all go ahead and follow Ann. See you later. We'll call you back in here when we're ready for you. Okay, now we got to do a little setting up here while they're outside. They're going to just basically be behind the wall, and she's going to make sure they're not peeking through the glass. That's the main thing. How are we doing there? Doing good? All righty, we've got a few things here now for you. How are we doing on that side? Looking good? Everything looking good? Okay, there's these. You probably want those there. Okay.
Can y'all read these?
Those are cue cards. Yeah, we need a lot of audience participation in this.
Okay, can you read that?
Oh!
Can you read that?
Oh!
Can you read that?
No!
Can you read that?
No!
Can you read that?
Yes!
Okay, y'all got it down. Can you read that?
Okay, now here's what we're going to do. Of course, we're not telling them, that they can hear some of what we're doing, mainly your reactions to what we're doing, but we're going to mix up something here for them, and then we are going to bring them in blindfolded and let them pull from here some of this stuff. You'll recognize some of these things. Yes. Barbecue sauce. Ketchup. Chocolate syrup. Oh. And a pickle. Oh, good. In case we need, but I think this is what we need right there. Okay, excellent. Okay, we've got all that nastiness. Okay. Now, Randy is going to be my helper, and what we are going to do is we are going to put together a concoction, and then we're going to invite one of our volunteers to come in and withdraw that green pickle out of that concoction, and that is going to be theirs. Yeah. So let's go ahead and put the pickle in first. Yeah, let's do that. All right, that's good. Green and round and nasty. Let's put some barbecue sauce in there. What do you think? Oh, yeah. Little Pig barbecue sauce. Let's make sure to get plenty in there so it's kind of...
It's been in the pantry since we were in the metal building.
Oh, that's been in the pantry since... Whoa! Yeah, pantry since the metal building.
Yuck!
Ooh, that's nasty. Okay, let's put some ranch dressing in there. That will be nice. Don't you... we'll get it nice and gooped up. Oh, it's light ranch dressing, so that ought to be good. Yay! Woo-hoo! Yes, a little bit more. Yeah, we got to make it nice and... Oh, yeah, that's looking good. Okay, let's add some pecan.
Yeah!
All right, let's add a little picante. Yeah. I'll put these over here so they'll be out of the way. Oh, that's nasty. Oh, that's really nasty. Oh. Okay. All right. Let's add a little this ketchup. That is what kind?
Hunt's.
Not French's. You can't. No, you can still see the pickle. Make sure. Yeah, there you go. Got that down. Okay, let's get some Hershey's double chocolate syrup in there. Yeah, I had to keep Ann out of the room. That would be enough to convince her to at least try this. Boy, that's nasty. You just ought to see this. You don't need a spoon. And let's put some whole grain crackers in there just to kind of make it difficult so they have to kind of feel around a while to find the little green round thing. Uh-huh, the pickle. Uh-oh. Oh, yeah. Let's get these over here. These are Mount Olive kosher pickles. Good thing they're kosher, right? And just stay like that, you'll be just fine. Okay, so there we go. We've got this nasty concoction down in there. What we have is we have nasty, nasty, ugly. That's just gross. Yeah, you ought to see that. Anyway, and then there's, you can't even see the pickle anymore, okay? Now what I'm going to do, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to tell Kelly to come in and I'm going to make her follow the sound of my voice like I'm leading her by faith and get her to reach in there and pull the pickle out. The green round thing, all right? And what this is going to demonstrate is the reluctance and fear that we have about following God into unknown territory. Pretty vivid here, don't you think? Okay, so in order to do that now, we have to blindfold her. And the thing is, we don't have blindfolds around here. And if she, listen, I'm going to give her the opportunity to bail. If she gets up here and she's like, I ain't following this, she can bail, then we'll go get Trevor and see if he's man enough to do it. All right? Now I'm going to go back here and show you what they're going to look like. And when they come in, I want you to take a look at it, but I'm going to show you what they're going to look like when they come in. Let me get back here and then I'll kind of get situated and I'll let you take a look. So you can see how funny this blindfold is. When I remembered it, I just couldn't believe it. Okay, just one second. Let me get the blindfold on, and then I will tell you to turn around and take a look. And I want everybody to look. This is the wildest thing. Oh yeah. Now look. You think that's pretty good? Now the nice thing is I can tell you right now, I don't have no idea where in the world I am. I mean, none. The person's going to have to really, really follow the sound of my voice. I'd probably have to take the microphone down so they don't follow. Go, okay, I'm going. Where are you? Okay, here we go. Let's see if I can get one of them. Okay, you'll be able to hear me while I'm out here. Kelly, stay right where you are. I have something for you. You probably want to take your glasses off, but Ann will hold those for you.
There you go. I could probably do what you need me to do just without my glasses.
Yeah, well, you're going to have to be blindfolded. This is your blindfold. This is your blindfold. You put it on like this. This way.
Okay.
So you can't see. It's been in my closet and it smells a little bit, but don't worry about that.
Ooh, musty.
Musty.
We use this for casting for the Vacation Bible School.
Okay, just make sure you can't see.
With the braids hanging down?
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, that's beautiful.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Musty.
Now we're going to, this is a demonstration of life by faith.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now you can hear the sound of my voice, so follow me. Obviously, God doesn't touch you, you just listen for him. Kelly, come with me. That's your call. Okay, Ann, hold the door so she can follow me without bumping her head. Here she comes.
This is really weird.
Come on, here you go. Just follow my voice. I told him I won't have you going through the PA. You will never know where I am. Come on. Yeah, you're doing good.
Can I put my hands out?
Yeah, so yeah, you can do it. You won't be able to do that much longer. Okay, follow me. We're going to go right over here. Actually, we're going to go this way. Follow me straight. Can you hear? How you doing? You doing good? Come on. You're as slow as a lot of American Christians. Actually, we always said, you're doing great. Yeah. Okay, yes, yeah, so I'll keep talking. You follow my voice. This is kind of how God does it, right? You come to church on Sunday morning and you hear his voice and follow him. Sunday evening, you hear his voice and follow him. Wednesday evening, and you've had 2 days without hearing his voice. You're doing good, man. You're right down in the middle and everything's fine. You follow me? Okay, come on. You're doing good. This is kind of the Christian life of faith, isn't it? You really don't know where you're going. You're sort of familiar with the surroundings, but you're getting ready to experience something.
You didn't
that's
have me climb these stairs.
No, you're not to the stairs yet. Okay, now I want you to turn to your left. It's a good thing Ann's not doing this. She doesn't understand. Come on, follow me. Now you're going to be crossing out in front of the. Yeah, you're fine. You're not anywhere near the stairs or anywhere near the pews.
Okay.
Oops. Okay, we're going. You're fine. You're still got the pulpit to your right, so. Yeah, You're doing good. Okay, we're going to go past the edge here, and then we're going to turn and come around over to the side. Now follow me. Here we're going by the piano. Follow my voice. Come on. There's no stairs here yet. There will be. I want to make sure. Okay, now turn toward me. Turn toward me. Keep coming. All right, now you are 3 feet away from the stairs. Come on. And now what I want you to do is take one more step like that. Another one. You're taking baby steps.
Uh-huh.
Right there. You feel it?
Yep.
Okay. Now, those are 12-inch risers, so just take a step up. I'm here. I won't let
corner?
You fall. Yes. You're in the middle of the side now.
Oops,
I got
that's
you.
No good.
That's no good. I got you. I mean, I'm not going to touch you. Because this is a life of faith, not a feeling. This is not a charismatic demonstration.
Okay,
you don't have the touch of God on your life. You're doing good. Great. Just do the same thing.
Okay.
Yeah, see, you're going sideways as if you're on the corner. You're not. You're heading right up the middle.
Just go straight.
Oh,
just
really?
Go straight. Yeah.
Like
sure.
Okay. Okay.
Now, one more step and you're there.
Okay, almost. Okay.
You know, I have a bad shoulder. Okay, now what I want you to do is I want you to shuffle to your right two steps.
Shuffle?
To your right. That's not a step. That's a slide. Go ahead.
I'm going to fall off the step.
No, you're not. You're
way away. You're fine.
Have faith.
Okay, a little bit. Okay, now wait. Before we go any further, okay, now you're up here, so you don't have to follow the sound of my voice. What I have up here, you can kind of smell it, is we have put together a concoction, and there is something green and round in it. And I'm going to put this apron on because I don't want you to mess up your clothes. If you will trust me, there's something in there that you really want. Now put your arms out so I can tie this apron on behind you. Well,
it's gluten free.
It is gluten free. Okay, I want to say to you, it is green and it's round.
Okay.
If you're willing to trust me, you can. There is a pot on a table in front of you. There to your right. If you will trust me, there's something in this pot in front of you which is about a little higher than your knee. And if you reach down in that pot and feel around, you will find what's green and round in there. And all I want to tell you is, it's good for you if you're willing to trust me. Are you sure?
Right now?
Yeah, are you sure?
Yep.
Okay, reach down in there.
This way?
Yes, you're going good? There, you'll feel the pot. Yeah, roll your sleeve up because it's...
Okay.
There you go. That's it.
What is it?
Open your thing and see what it is.
Oh.
Is that not good for you?
Yes, I get to keep it.
Yeah, that's a $20 bill.
Uh-huh. Green and red. I thought it was a frog.
What they're owing and yucking is that this is what was really in there.
Oh, that's nasty.
Yeah. That's yours.
Thank you.
Trevor can come in. She took the bait. Thank you. Now, that was just a little simple illustration, and you will probably remember that, but what did you think was in that pot? You thought there was still a pickle in there. The thing is that a lot of people fear where God is leading them, thinking that what's really out there is bad and spooky and scary. And they're not willing to follow God because what they think is in there is something bad.
Yeah.
I didn't ask you today, Brother Neil, how old are you?
I just turned 51.
Okay, so he just turned 51. And that's not really a good time to take a woman who, generally speaking, likes to have a nesting instinct. We talked about that. And say, we're going to go over here. Brother Linwood's just turned 55, and I don't think Pam wants me to tell you how old she is, but it's really, really, really close, like within months of my age. That's just a hint. That's just a hint. And you know what? You have to know that these folks sometimes think about Moldova like that pot of goop and gunk. And somewhere over there, there's something real good inside that God wants to have. And the truth of the matter is, it isn't goop and gunk. That's what you imagine in your mind. What's really over there is an inheritance. But you're not going to get that reward on this side of glory. You're going to get it later. Abraham lived his entire life and didn't come into possession of that land. But you know something? He is going to go into that possession of that land, and he is known as the father of our faith. Now look with that illustration at Hebrews chapter 11 verse 8. We won't belabor the point. We'll just explain. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. She reached in there, not knowing what was in there. We had you doing all this other kind of stuff, but you know there are a lot of Christians that have probably come to Brother Neil at some point and said, are you sure you really want to be going over to Moldova? I mean, you got a good job here and a house here and all that kind of stuff. And sometimes people can really convince you that maybe that fear he talked about of not doing God's will is not as the fear you have about where you're going. You don't know what's going to happen to you. You know why some people don't get saved? They're afraid of what might happen to them when they do. Because their imagination is it's a pot full of gunk. When I got ready to leave the banking business and told people I was doing that because of the call of God on my life, they laughed and they said, you can't do that to your family and give all that up. But like Brother Neil, I had a fear of not doing what God had called me to do more than I had a fear of what it might be like when we got there. It's a good thing today that we didn't follow the voices of the crowd, but we followed the call of God. Very, very important. Now listen here. Because of those voices of the crowd, because of all those distractions that we talk about concerning the electronics and all the other things that you're involved in out here, first of all, we have to say that if we're going to walk in the steps of faith of Abraham, if you are walking in the steps of his faith, you are going to hear the call of God. You have to be walking in faith, in the faith of Abraham, to hear that call. How many times have people come in here and presented something like you've heard from Brother Neil? How many times have preachers come in here about you surrendering to do something for God and you don't hear that call? Because you have to have the faith that God might call me. That these scriptures aren't written to the guy sitting next to me or to the people in the pew in front of me. These scriptures are written to me and that God may have a call in my life. And you know something, you ought to come to church with that expectation that God is going to speak to you from the scriptures tonight. And God is going to speak to you from those scriptures in your Sunday school class. And God is going to speak to you in those scriptures in the morning service and on Wednesday night. They're not just hip here to fulfill time or to perform a ritualistic thing that we do as Baptists. They are here so that God can communicate through the voice of men out of the scriptures what He's done in their life or what He's shown them to speak with you. And you have to be prepared to hear the call, and it takes faith to listen to God. In our little illustration, I don't know what it seemed, but you know what? She was truly blindfolded. You couldn't see. I couldn't see. All you could see is a little light coming from these lights out here. She had to follow my voice the whole step of the way. You have to follow God's voice in that scripture and through the preaching and through godly counsel as He helps you find the way that He is leading you. Listen, if you're not living in faith, you won't hear the call. If you're not living in faith, you won't know that He's calling you. If you're not living in faith, you won't answer that call. You'll just let the phone ring. Must be a telemarketer. Can't be calling me. And you know why? Because, listen, faith really, he said it so well in his testimony tonight. I had more fear of not answering God than I did of what might happen by answering. Faith, what it does is it causes you to trust in God where your fear goes away. Listen to the scripture. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You see? So when you go into any situation that you think God is leading in, you have to be very careful about fear, because what may happen is you're thinking that God is dealing with you about something in your life, but you are afraid to answer because you're afraid of what it might entail. But when you're really walking in faith, following the scripture, you put that fear aside and say, Lord, thank you for calling me. I'll follow that call. I don't know that I understand it all, but if you want me, I'll go, and thank you so much for making it very clear. There's a distinct difference between a call of God and an emotional response to a message or a burden. So the first thing then, you walk in faith to hear the call. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So you get in there continuously. You've seen how the Lord spoke to his family and reassured him of faith time and time again through the scripture. You'll hear the call. Here's the second thing. The Bible says by faith, Abraham, when he was called. You know, the frustrating thing might be that God had called you, but you didn't hear the call. He said, I believe there are men in the ministry today that weren't called of God. I believe that too. But I also believe that there are men that should be in the ministry that were called that didn't answer the call. And by faith, if you live by faith, you'll be listening for God's call and following His voice through the Scriptures and preaching in the path that He leads you. But look at the second thing. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, the Bible says, obeyed. You got to walk in faith to hear the call, but then you've got to walk in faith to obey the call. To obey the call. And you know something? In order for Abraham to obey the call, what did he have to do in just the portion of Scripture we've read? Listen, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out. What did he have to do in order to obey the call in the portion of Scripture that we've read so far? Huh? He had to go out. He had to leave. You know something? The more this church grows and the more comfortable we make your surroundings, the harder it's going to be for you to ever want to go up and do anything other than just show up for church. Because you know what happens? You get very familiar with your surroundings and you say, God, I'm just very comfortable right here with my life. We have a nice home. We have a nice car. I've got a great job. We're paying all of our bills. We love our pastor. He loves us. We really like our seats there at the church. They're very comfortable. I don't want to go. I don't want to leave all that. Now, I don't know what Brother Neil's house looks like for him to want it struck by lightning. But I imagine working and going on deputation, there's probably a little stuff that needs to be dealt with. And I'm sure, how long have y'all been married?
20-something.
Some time. They have probably accumulated some things. Like all of us have. And I mean, there gets a point in your life where you just don't want to mess with that anymore. And it's easier to stay put than it is to go out. Don't you know that's spooky? That's spooky. We get too comfortable and too American. It's really funny when Americans go to the mission field, they like to make the mission field like America. That isn't going to work in Moldova. And it's not going to work wherever God may send you. But you have to be willing to get out of your comfort zone to be used by God. In order to do that, you have to walk by faith. Why? Because if you stay in your comfort zone, if you want to stick around where things are comfortable and your possessions are comfortable and your language is comfortable and your culture is comfortable and all that, but that's not where God wants you to be, things are going to start to get uncomfortable. And you're not going to realize that it was because of your disobedience to the call of God. You're going to think, well, it's my wife, or it's my kids, or it's my employer, or it's my health, or it's my something or other. And the problem is God put a call on your life, and you were not man enough to admit you were afraid to go. We get rooted in down here. He said, set your affection on things above. And boy, we get those roots in pretty deep down here. We don't want to let go. Maybe tell you something. I've driven around this town. Corpus Christi is no place to root in too deep. Okay? If I understand what I understand about heaven, there are probably some other nice places on earth that are pretty nice too. And I know there's a real nice place in heaven. And if you had to give up some comfort down here for a little period of time in order to be able to have greater comfort in heaven, I think it'd be worth it. You have to live by faith to hear the call. You've got to have live by faith to obey the call. But that's not all. He says, obeyed, and he went out. This is strange, but true, not knowing whither he went. Same thing we say is where he went. Now, you guys thought you knew what was in here. Kelly had no idea what was in here, but to her benefit, she trusted that I wouldn't get her to put her hand in something as nasty as what we put together if I told her there was something green and round in there that was good for her. And so she did it. But she didn't know what she was getting into. And you thought you knew what she was getting into. And had you had the opportunity, you would have discouraged her and said, I don't think you want to do that. I mean, this pot is still pretty close to that pot down there, and whatever's in that pot that smells as bad as it does right here, you can smell over here. She even rolled up her sleeve. She even let me put the apron on and went after it anyway. Didn't even have to have gloves on. She's a dental hygienist instructor. You know they always talk about gloves. Many people start in obedience to God, but they don't finish. And there are a number of reasons for that, but according to our text, the reason here is some are afraid to answer, some are afraid to leave, and some are afraid to go. Why? You tell me, God, everything that is going to be involved in making that move, and I'll tell you whether I'm willing to do it. You're calculators. So am I. We plan. We want to say, you know, Lord, I'll go over there. But I need to know where I'm going to live, how long it's going to take me for you to learn the language, whether or not I'm going to have a church there and how big that's going to get, and whether the Russian mafia is going to kill me before I win them to Jesus. And you want to analyze all the risks. Why? Because our mindset is to figure it all out before we move. That's the way we are. We didn't build this building by throwing down a foundation and say, okay, let's see what we can put up here now. We had plans. And that was a wise thing to do when it came to building a building. But God's not going to let you do that when you live by faith. He's not going to let you know how it turns out. So how do you approach it? Listen. And this is where we're going to end. The only important thing that you know about fulfilling the call of God in your life is that God knows. That's all you need to know. God knows. And that He loves you enough to encourage you to trust that He will not lead you into something that is bad. Now, when I say that, I'm talking about in the context of everything else. Because we say, the Bible says, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. There are bad things that happen to Christians. But when you take all of those ingredients and mix them together, what you get is good. It is not important in the life of faith that you know how tomorrow is going to turn out. All you got to know is that God knows how tomorrow is going to turn out, and He's asking you to trust Him to get you through today so that you'll be where you need to be tomorrow. When a person comes to Jesus Christ to get saved, and we tell them, the Bible says, if you trust Jesus Christ, you'll go to heaven. If you don't trust Jesus Christ, you'll go to hell. They still have to trust Him that He meant what He said. Which one of you has ever been up to heaven to see it, to come back and confirm to them, I've seen it, it's real, and that's where you go when you die? You haven't seen it. You're trusting Him. Now, if you can trust Him with your soul and trust Him with your eternity, I promise you, you can trust Him with tomorrow. He knows nothing in life takes God by surprise. He knows whether your spouse will die or live. He knows whether your house will sell or not sell. He knows whether it'll be struck by lightning or not. He knows whether the plane you're flying to go there will go down or stay up. He knows all of that. All He's asking you to do is trust Me that I would not have called you to do this if it meant harm to you. Quit being afraid of My call, is what He's trying to tell us. Abraham had no idea where he was going, but he knew that the God who called him did, and he fulfilled that call. Walk by faith and hear the call. Walk by faith and obey the call. Walk by faith and fulfill the call. And don't let your uncertainty about how that call is going to turn out affect your decision in any way. God knows. That's why it's so important to have a call. If you don't have that call and you go out there thinking you're walking in faith, emotion, burden, heartfelt desire will crumble. But faith in God and God's words will stand strong. And you'll end up where you need to be, doing what God wants you to do when God's ready for you to do it. Amen? Father, we're sure thankful tonight for the Scripture. Thankful tonight, Father, for something so plain and simple, but something so profound as the faith of Abraham. Now, Father, we're going to take time to pray, and I pray that You will lead us and guide us, please, Lord, in this time of invitation. While your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, listen just for one second. Some of you tonight are afraid about tomorrow. And it's an indication that your faith needs to be stronger and that you need to be encouraged by the Scripture to walk in faith. God will take care of it. Please respond tonight to whatever God is showing you in response to this message. So when you leave here, you and God will know y'all have taken care of business. You respond however God leads. Father, may You have Your will and Your way with us tonight. For I ask You to do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.